I've had several loves in my life. One of them is ventriloquists and their fantastic dummies, and the other is ballerinas, and you put them together, and you have a story like this one, Ryabushinska. I fell in love with Tatiana Ryabushinska, who was a ballerina as I was growing up, a wonderful performer on the stage. And when I decided to do a tale of magic and bring on a ventriloquist who was trying to make this beautiful dummy say things that it didn't want to say, it was natural that I would call this ventriloquist dummy Ryabushinska.
Okay. You can just all stand back, please. Stand back now. They have to carry the body out.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I'm here, Alice. Take my hand.
What was that?
Just a seagull. Just a seagull crying. After all, Lieutenant, this is the seaside.
Yeah, I know. But that wasn't like any... What's in this box? Ryabushinska, it says. Who or what in God's name is Ryabushinska?
Let me out. Oh, please, please, won't someone let me out?
No, Rhea. This is a serious business. Later, be quiet now. There's a good girl.
Please, don't laugh. You should be much kinder now, after what's happened.
If you don't mind, we'll save your dummy act for later, Mr. Fabian. Right now, there's all this to clear up. Mrs. Alice Fabian?
Yes, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
And Mr. Douglas? You're Mr. Fabian's press agent and manager, I believe.
That's right, I am.
John Fabian, Mrs. Fabian, Mr. Douglas. All of you say you don't know the murdered man.
No.
You never heard the name Occam before.
No, never heard it.
Yet. Last night, Occam told the stage manager he knew Mr. Fabian and had to see him about something vitally important.
Let me out, I tell you. You just have to let me out.
Yeah, damn it, Fabian, what is all this?
Pay no attention to her, Lieutenant.
Her? Or you? What is this? Will you get together, you two?
No, we'll never be together. Never again. Not after tonight.
Don't say that, Rhea. Don't say such things.
Isn't it the truth?
Give me the key, Fabian. Now. I've just about had enough of all this nonsense.
Oh, thank you. That's much better. Now I can see you.
Good God.
You can't believe it, can you?
Dear God.
Look at her, Lieutenant. Isn't her face cut from the whitest wood you've ever seen? It always looks to me as though it might have been carved from snow. And the head. The head is as dainty as a porcelain cup with the sun shining through the thinness of it.
Sure. It's a beautiful doll. Now take it out of the box, will you, Fabian?
And light coming out of the dark eyes with blue tones behind like fresh mulberries.
I said take it out. Why don't you do it?
John? Do you hear what he's saying to you, John?
Her lips look as if they might be slightly damp, don't they? And do you see how her gown is draped to show her shoulders?
Christ, will you just take the doll out of that box?
My lovely lady.
That's better. Now, if you'd like to sit down over there, Mr. Fabian.
My lovely, lovely lady.
She is very beautiful.
She's appeared in Paris, Rome, Istanbul, everyone in the world knows her and loves her.
They think she's really human, you see. Some sort of midget creature.
Sure looks that way.
Except that she's more magical than that. My lady, Ryabushinska.
Please don't talk about me. You know Alice doesn't like it.
Oh, God, John, can't you even now just...
Alice never has liked it. Have you, Alice?
Shh, don't. Not here, not now. Oh, but how did it all happen? Mr. Occam, I mean.
Poor, poor Mr. Alcott.
You'd better go back to sleep now, Rita.
But I don't want to go to sleep. I'm as much a part of this murder as Alice. Or Mr. Douglas, even.
Now, don't you drag me into this.
And it's just that I want the truth to be told. And if I'm locked up in my coffin, there will be no truth. For John is a consummate liar, and I must watch after him. Isn't that right, John?
I suppose it is.
John loves me best of all the women in the world.
Oh, Jesus.
And I love him, and try to understand his wrong way of thinking.
God damn it! God damn it, Fabian. If you think you can get away with this...
Listen, I'm helpless.
But it's only a... How can she... You...
I know what you want to say. She's in my throat. Is that it? Oh, but no. No, she's not in my throat. She's somewhere else. Here in my chest, where my heart is. Or here, in my head.
I don't understand you.
Nobody ever does understand him. Least of all me.
Oh, she's quick to hide. I know that. Sometimes she's only herself. Nothing of me at all. She tells me what to do, and I must do it. She reprimands me. Is honest where I'm dishonest. Good when I'm wicked.
She's a saint, for sure.
Hush, Alice. This isn't doing any good.
She lives here, in my head, ignoring me if I try to make her say improper things. Only cooperating if I suggest the right words.
What's the point of all this, Fabian?
Just that if you intend going on, Lieutenant, I'm afraid Rhea must be present. Locking her up will do no good. No good at all.
All right, let her stay. It just may be that before the night's over, I'll be tired enough to ask a ventriloquist dummy questions. Now, let's get some coffees in here. So you don't recognize the dead man at all, Mr. Douglas?
He looks vaguely familiar, I suppose. Could be an actor.
Look at Occam's shoes, his clothing. It's obvious he needed money and came here tonight to beg, borrow, or steal some.
Maybe so.
Let me ask you this, Douglas. Are you in love with Mrs. Fabian?
Now, just wait a moment.
No, Mrs. Fabian, you wait a moment. I am not exactly blind. When a press agent sits where the husband should be sitting, consoling the wife, well...
It isn't true. It isn't true, I tell you.
And the way you'll look at the marionette's box, Mrs. Fabian, holding your breath when she appears.
If you think for one moment I'm jealous of a stick of wood...
You make fists when she talks. Hell, you're obvious.
I'm not jealous of her.
You needn't tell him anything, Alice.
Let her speak. She wants to. I know.
Mrs. Fabian.
All right. I married John 7 years ago because he said he loved me and because I loved him. And I loved Rhea Buczynska, too. At first, anyway.
You did. I know you did.
But then I began to see that he lived all of his life for her and paid most of his attentions to her, and I was just a shadow. Waiting in the wings every night.
You were never a shadow, Alice.
He spends so much on her, Lieutenant. Thousands and thousands of dollars on a doll's house with gold and silver and platinum furniture. He tucks her into a small satin bed each night. And he talks to her.
Of course I talk to her.
I thought it was all an elaborate joke at first, and I was wonderfully amused. But when it finally came to me that I would always come second to Rhea in his affections, I began to feel a sort of hatred and distrust. Oh, not for the marionette.
It wasn't my fault, Alice.
She's right. It wasn't her doing.
God damn it. Why do you all...
What?
Never mind. Go on. I know why. At least I'm beginning to... Just go on, Mrs. Fabian.
I felt a growing hatred for John, because it was his fault. He was the control, and all of his cleverness and sadism came out through his relationship with this wooden doll here.
Poor John. How could he help it?
Anyway, I did become very jealous, which was silly of me, I know. It was also idiotic.
you're telling me.
But more than that, it was uncanny. I knew that something had hold of John. Just as people who drink have a hungry animal somewhere inside them, starving to death.
Poor John.
So I moved back and forth from anger to pity, from jealousy to understanding. And I never hated the thing that Rhea was in him, because he's right. She was the best part of him. She was everything that he never let himself try to be. Can you even begin to understand me?
I don't know.
Oh, Alice. My poor Alice.
Hadn't you better tell him about Mr. Douglas now? Alice?
What's to tell? When the years passed and there was so little love from John, I guess it was natural I turned to Mr. Douglas. He cares for me as John never can or will. And that's all there is to it.
So everything begins to fall into place. Mr. Occam was a very poor man, down on his luck. And he came to this theater tonight because he knew about you and Mr. Douglas.
Oh, that's nonsense.
Well, is it? Perhaps he threatened to speak to Mr. Fabian if you didn't buy him off. That would give you the best of reasons to get rid of him.
I didn't kill him.
But Mr. Douglas might have.
Why kill a man? John knew all about us.
He knew?
Of course. He's known for years. Tell him, John.
I have indeed. Why should I care? Why should I mind what she does? When I have... Oh, Rhea. Rhea, why won't you laugh with me? Why won't you ever laugh with me now?
Mr. Fabian, can I talk to you?
Come in, why don't you? Are you any further on with your inquiries?
Mr. Fabian, I've been doing some research, and I have something I'd like to show you.
Be my guest. Sit down.
I have a photograph here. I wonder if you'd just glance at it for me, see if you recognize it.
I do. Yes.
Miss Ilyana Ryamanova, 100 pounds, blue eyes, black hair, oval face, born 1914, New York City. Disappeared 1934. Believed a victim of amnesia, of Russo-Slav parentage, etc., etc.
Yeah, etc.
I tell you, it felt pretty damn silly to go through police files looking for a picture of a marionette. You should have heard them at headquarters. Long time till I lived that one down.
So I should imagine.
Still, here she is. Rhea Manova, or the real Rhea Bushinska. Not a puppet, but a woman who once lived and breathed and...
disappeared, like it says.
I suppose you take it on from there.
There's nothing to take and nowhere to go. I saw this woman's picture a long time ago, liked her looks, and copied my marionette after her.
Fabian, I spent this very morning shuffling through a stack of billboard magazines. In the year 1934, I found an article concerning an act which played on a second-rate circuit. Fabian and Sweet William. Sweet William was a little boy dummy. But there was a girl assistant. Rhea Manova was her name.
I see.
After that, it was simple enough to check police files and dig up this picture. I couldn't believe my eyes.
She's, very like, isn't she?
Mr. Fabian, the resemblance is nothing short of incredible. And yet this Ilyana was a real live woman, while in that box lies... God, it's all beyond me. Suppose you tell your story all over again, Fabian. Just for me. But now, I mean, I really am curious.
She was my assistant. I simply used her as a model.
John Fabian, do you think I'm a fool? Do you think I don't know love when I see it? I've watched you handle the marionette. I've seen you talk to it. I've seen how you make it react to you.
She, not it. She.
She, then. You're in love with the puppet because you loved the woman very, very much. Hell, Fabian, will you stop fencing around with me?
All right. I'll tell you.
Thank God for that.
It was back in 1934. I was billed as Fabian and Sweet William. Well, you're right. Sweet William was a cute little boy dummy. I carved him myself a long time ago. I was in Los Angeles when this girl appeared at the stage door one night.
Excuse me. I was wondering if you might be able to give me a job, Mr. Fabian.
You? You're...
What? What is wrong with me?
Nothing at all. Just you're not the normal run of stage assistants. Come inside a moment. It's raining.
Oh, it's all right. I'm used to it.
You don't look as if you are. You look like a princess.
No. No, I'm not a princess. But I followed your work for years.
Years? You haven't been alive for years, huh?
Oh, for a long time, then. I love to come to the theater. I love to watch you. I want to work with you. I want to work for you.
Well, I do need an assistant. And I guess I could give you a try.
As easy as that, huh?
There she was. On the stage with me. And in another 2 months, I'd stepped off the rim of my own world after her.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, off the rim of your world?
Well, that's what it felt like. Anyway, she changed me. It was like plunging down a bottomless place of no limit and no light anywhere.
You loved her?
No. I was obsessed with her. And we argued a lot.
Idiot.
Crazy stuff when I think about it. I mean, if she so much as looked at another man...
Did she look at other men?
Not much. I mean, not at all. I think it was all in my mind. But they looked at her.
She was beautiful, they would.
We argued a lot. There was no sense in it. No sanity in it. After a while, she edged away from me, but that was my fault. I pushed her away from me with my jealousy. She just couldn't take it.
So what did you do to her, Mr. Fabian?
I burned all her clothes once. I remember that.
Why, for God's sake?
I don't know. I thought if she had nothing to wear, she couldn't leave me.
Did she want to leave you?
No, not then. That was a tragedy of it. She would never have left me if it wasn't for my stupid jealousy. Even when I burned her clothes, she didn't seem to be worried. I mean, she laughed at me. And then it was all right for a week or two.
So what happened next? I mean, where did she go? When did she go?
I sent her away.
You sent her away?
Don't remember why. I don't remember what it was about. Only that there was no light anywhere.
You want to go? You can go. There's your goddamn money.
But, John, I don't. I don't want to go.
Don't lie to me, Rhea. You do. I see it in your face. There's probably some man waiting for you.
You know there isn't, John. Don't do this. I don't want to go.
You do, so go. And don't look at me like that.
But I'm not.
You're a whore. That's what you are, Rhea.
I've done nothing. Nothing except love you.
Love? You don't know the meaning of love. Here, take your cash and go. Go!
She disappeared that night.
Are you sure that's all you did?
I thought she'd come back. But I never saw her again. When I found out she was really gone, it was as if all the world was smashed flat. I loved her. And I lost her.
So what did you do?
Took out ads in the papers. Oh, wait, here they are. I kept a scrapbook. I keep it by me, always. See for yourself.
Jeez. These must have cost you a fortune. Have you seen this girl? Black hair, oval face. Reward for information on the whereabouts.
I even employed a private detective. But she never came back. She was gone. Like a piece of fine tissue blown over the sky and lost forever. But I knew that some way, somehow, I had to have her back.
Have her back? What in God's name do you mean?
What am I to do? How am I to live without her?
John? That you, John?
Sweet William. It's all over and done. I can't go on without her.
You can get her back if you want to.
How can I? She's gone for good.
Then you must think. Think of a way. You can do it.
How?
Well, you must put me aside. Lock me up. Start all over.
Start all over?
Yeah. Buy fine new wood, hard-grained wood, and carve it.
Yeah. Maybe I could. Maybe I could carve slowly and carefully with the smallest of chisels. Make her cheeks in small hollows, just so. Make her skin so smooth.
Let the veins show through.
No. No, it's foolish. I could never do it.
Yes, you could.
So you made Rhea Bushinska.
I couldn't do it at first. How could I take this chunk of wood and recreate that quality she had of rain and summer sunlight and snow? No way to catch those snowflakes without having them melt in your fingers. But William whispered in my ear. He encouraged me.
You can do it. Oh, yes, you can.
And so I began. It took me an entire month to carve her hands. Another month, and the skeleton was revealed, like the veins in the white flesh of an apple. And all the while I worked, Sweet William lay in his box, croaking and wheezing, and he was dying all the time. The more I worked, the longer he lay in silence. Till I looked at him, and he was gone.
Jeez.
And now, as I worked, there was a faint motion of speech, far back in my throat, speaking silently like a breeze among dry leaves. And then, for the first time, I held the doll in a certain way, and the body became soft and pliable, and her eyes opened and looked at me. She was ready to speak, and I knew all of the things that she must say to me. I bent my head, and I could feel the warm breath coming from her mouth. And when I listened very carefully, I swear I could hear the beating of her heart.
So what about the dead man? What about Occam?
I never saw him before you showed me his body in the basement yesterday.
Fabian!
I swear it's the truth.
The truth.
She wants to speak. I'll fetch her over.
Bring the box, then. Don't touch her.
Here.
Take me up, John. Lift me.
All right. If that's what you want.
The first letter came a month ago.
Rhea, you mustn't talk about this.
Yes, I must. The letter said, Rhea Puchinska, born 1914, died 1934. Born again in 1935. Mr. Occam was a juggler. He'd been on the same bill with John and Sweet William years before. He remembered that once there had been a woman before there was a puppet.
Please.
Occam threatened to tell everyone in the world about us.
But I still don't understand. What was
I was in the office upstairs, when Mr. Occam came. I lay in my box and listened. Mr. Occam threatened to burn me into ashes if John didn't pay him $1,000.
But why would he...
Suddenly, there was a cry and a thud. Mr. Occam's head must have struck the floor. I heard John swearing. I heard a gasping and a choking sound.
You heard nothing. You're deaf. You're blind.
But I hear. You made me ears to hear. The choking sound stopped. Then I heard John drag Mr. Occam down the stairs, under the theater, to the dressing rooms.
Dear God, you killed him. And all because... But I mean, what did he know?
He threatened her. He threatened Myria. And people would have stopped believing in her. Nothing would have been the same.
But it isn't the same now. I'm not made to live this way. There's nothing for us now, John.
Oh, but there is. There is.
Everyone will know. Even when I lay asleep last night, I dreamed. I knew. I realized. We both realized that these would be our last days together.
No, you mustn't leave
John,
me.
I've lived with your weakness, and I've lived with your lies. But I can't live with something that kills and delights in killing. How can I live with such knowledge?
Oh, God. God, help me.
Fabian, sit down.
Do you see, Lieutenant? I hold her, and she looks at me, but there is nothing in her eyes. Look, my hand's shaking, and she shakes, too. She trembles, but it's an illusion. Her little mouth closes and opens, but she says nothing.
Mr. Fabian, will you sit down now? Put the little doll down.
I can't remember.
Here, put the little doll down on the table.
She's gone. She's run off. I can't find her. I can't find her. I try, but she's run away. So far away.
Ah, look now. You've dropped the little marionette.
Will you help me find her?
Yeah. You come with me now, Mr. Fabian. You come with me and we'll see what we can do.
There remains something irresistibly strange about the magic worked by a good ventriloquist. In And So Died Rhea Boshinska, Don Fabian was played by Liam Brennan, Rhea by Vary Sylvester, and Krovich by John Ramage. Alice was played by Catherine Connolly, and Douglas by Stephen Athol. And So Died Rhea Boshinska was written by me, Ray Bradbury, dramatized by Catherine Sierkowska, and directed in Edinburgh by Hamish Wilson. I'm Ray Bradbury, and my last story in this series is called The Day It Rained Forever. You can join me next week at the same time to hear this gentle story of heat and how to overcome it.